Y'all ready to get started this morning? There you go. If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 16. Hebrews 11, 8 through 16. It says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. Now, if they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful that today we can come and call upon your name, Lord, and we can worship you and hear from you, Lord. We thank you for your word, and I pray, God, that we would all be people like Abraham who would look for that heavenly city, that we'd be people of faith, Lord. And so today, speak, may we listen, may we obey. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear. I understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So if you have your book and the table of contents, we will be talking about Abraham and Lot. Okay, that's the two characters that we're going to look at, Abraham and Lot. And the title of the message could be summarized in two words, faith or flesh. Okay, are we going to choose the path of faith, or are we going to choose the path of flesh? And so, it brings us to Genesis. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Genesis chapter 12. We'll be in Genesis chapter 12. We first learn of Abraham and Lot in Genesis 11 towards the end when it gives the genealogy of them. And then in chapter 12, verse 1, it says this, "Now the Lord said to Abram," okay, I'm going to refer to Abram as Abraham, because Abram gets his name changed to Abraham later on, and Sarai, his wife, gets her name changed to Sarah. So I'll say Abraham and Sarah. So Abraham, he said, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." All right, let's stop right here. Now, what we know about Abraham's background is this, that he was not born into a godly family. In the book of Joshua, it tells us that Abraham's father and that family worshipped false gods. And so when God comes to Abraham, he calls him out of an ungodly family to go and follow him. Because when God calls us to follow him, he always calls us to come out of the world. Amen? To separate ourselves from the things of this world. And so he calls him to get out of his family. And I think this is a good word for people who maybe are in a family that doesn't honor God, doesn't love God, is not serving God. You don't have to let your family situation determine who you are and what you become. True? Just because your family didn't serve God doesn't mean you can't. Just because your dad or your mom was a certain way doesn't mean you have to turn out that way. Amen? Well, you know, my father was a drunk, I'll be a drunk. No, you can come out of that. My father was a cheat, I'll be a cheat. No, you can come out of that. No, you don't have to live like your father or your mother or your family if they were ungodly. You can come out and live a life of faith. And so God calls Abraham out of that and says, I want you to go and I want you to follow me. Kind of like the same call that Jesus did with his disciples. Remember when he's with his disciples? He said what? Come and what? Follow me. Just come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Just trust me. Just follow me. Just do and just trust that I'm going to lead you in a good place. Because what God says is, I'm going to make you a great name, Abraham. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And I'm going to bless all kinds of people because of you. And sometimes we might not see that. We might not feel like there's the blessings of God coming on our life or the promises of God being fulfilled in our life. And it seems like we wonder, you know, is God going to come through on his promise? You know, the disciples felt like that. Peter wondered at one time. He scratched his head one day and wondered, is it worth it? I mean, like, what about us? Have you ever had that moment where you're like, is it really worth following Jesus? I mean, is he true? Have you ever doubted and wondered, hey, what I'm giving up and what I'm sacrificing, is it worth it? And so, you know, Peter asked, well, what about us? We've left everything to follow you. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 29, he says, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. What's Jesus say to Peter? It's worth it. Yes, it's worth it following me, Peter. Yes, you can trust me, Peter. Yes, I've got you covered. That's what God's telling Abraham. It's going to be worth it. Follow me. Trust me. Trust me. It is worth it. Jesus says, hey, it's worth it. I will give you things that you never could get on your own, and I will take you somewhere that you can't get on your own. I will give you everlasting life. How many of y'all believe by faith God's got you covered? He's got you covered. You're okay, all right? He's got you. He's got you. Some of you just need to receive that today. Just say, he's got me. Or just say it one more time. Say, he's got me. He's got me, okay? He promised that he will never leave me or forsake me. Yeah, but it don't seem like he's around. He's there. It doesn't seem like promises are coming through. It's coming. Don't step away. You just believe by faith that he's got you. So he calls Abraham to this life of faith. And now we're going to look at Abraham's life. We're going to look at Lot's life. And Abraham wasn't always a perfect guy. There's only one perfect person in the world and in Scripture, and that's who? Jesus. But he was a man of faith. Now, one of the things that he did at the beginning that he shouldn't have done is he brought Lot with him. Because God told him to leave his family and get out of there. But he brought Lot with him. And he becomes a nuisance to Abraham for many years. And so him and his family with Lot, they come out. And then in chapter 12, verse 6, it says that Abram passed through a land by the name of Shechem, which means stronghold or ridge. It's a strong place. And they go to by the oak of Moreh, which means instruction. So Abraham goes. He goes to a strong place, gets instruction from the Lord, walks with him, continues on his journey. And then we are brought to verse 7 of Genesis 12, where it says, then the Lord appeared to Abram, and he said, to your offspring I will give this land. Now notice what Abraham did. So he what? He built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. He built an altar to the Lord. He worshiped his God. He worshiped him. What do we need to be doing as believers in Jesus? Worshiping our Lord. When we begin to walk in faith, we always need to come to the point to where we worship him. From there, it tells us he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he what? Built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Bethel means house of God. Ai means heap or ruin. Okay? And he pitched his tent in the middle between Bethel and Ai. And that, doesn't that speak to our life? Aren't we torn between flesh and faith? Jesus said, you are to be in the world, but you're not to be of the world. And then there's always this tension that the believer lives in, is that there's the heap and ruin calling out our name. There's the flesh that calls us and tempts us. And then there's the house of God. There's the Spirit of God that lives in us that calls us to walk after Him. And we're torn between this. And we've got to make a decision today. Which path are we going to walk on? Are we going to be led by our faith, or are we going to be led by our flesh? Because Abraham, we will see, was led by faith, and Lot was led by his flesh. Now, Abraham receives this call. He's walking in obedience, and he hits one of his first tests. How many of y'all love tests? Huh? How many of y'all love tests going in school? We have tests in life. Here is Abraham's first test. In verse 10, it says, now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. So there was a great famine, and Abraham, instead of exercising his faith, allowed the flesh to speak into his life, and he was not motivated by faith, but he was motivated by fear. What do you do when a crisis comes your way? What do you do when it seems like it's not going to work out? What do you do when conflict arises? Do you panic and think, I got to figure something out? Because when we walk in the flesh and we let fear guide us, we have our idea. Anybody ever try to help God out? Huh? You panic. You think, oh, this ain't working out. This ain't what I think, God. And we try to make a decision on our own, and we try to do it our way. Huh? Where does it end up? Heap and ruin. That's where it ends up. Every time that we try to help God out, we'll mess it up. We cannot be motivated by fear. See, God didn't tell Abraham to go to Egypt. Abraham thought, there's a famine. So instead of staying where God was, or letting God lead him and saying, Lord, I trust you. I know my circumstance around me doesn't look right. It doesn't look good. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to trust that you're going to provide for me. Because you know what? God can provide manna. He can provide quail. He can provide what you need even in a famine. Hello? Amen? But instead of trusting God, he left by his flesh and he goes down to Egypt. And when he's down in Egypt, there's some things that happen and some things that consequences from that choice that he lived with for a very long time. So he goes down there and his wife, the Bible says, is a beautiful woman. And he says, now Sarah, You're pretty, and they're going to probably kill me so that they can have you. So in order for me to protect you, we're going to say that you're my sister, which was a half-truth. And a half-truth is still a lie. And so he lies, and they say that, and the Pharaoh notices her beauty, and he takes her for his wife. And then God sends a disease upon Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is like, what is going on? And he brings us, why did you lie to me? Why did you tell me that this was your sister, not your wife? And he says, go, get out of here. And he gives Abraham some gifts and some things, and also some men servants and maid servants. And what Abraham takes out of Egypt eventually comes back to haunt him. Some of the wealth and the livestock that he got gets him in trouble early on. And one of the maidservants is Hagar, who years later causes a lot of problems. And here's why, here's wisdom. Let the one who hears, let him hear. Okay? Every choice that we make has a consequence. Okay? And the choices that we make when we're in Egypt can haunt us down the road. We can even be forgiven, and God's mercy can cover us. But the decisions that we make while we are wasting time in Egypt, doing our own thing, living in the flesh, there are consequences that can follow us years to come. True? So they leave, they get out of Egypt, and what does a man of God do when he finds himself in Egypt? What do you do? What do you do when you mess up? What do you do when you make a boneheaded decision and you're like, that was the dumbest thing that I could have done. I can't believe I let my flesh have more power over me than my faith. Anybody ever made a dumb choice? You've walked in the flesh and you thought, man, that was so crazy. That was so dumb. What do you do? Well, here's the difference between a person who lives by faith and not by their flesh. When you realize you've messed up, look at verse 3 of chapter 13. And he journeyed on from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. What do you do when you mess up? You repent. You get back to the altar. You go back to the house of God and say, Lord, I've messed up. I blew it. I made a bad decision. I didn't trust you. I didn't live by faith. I let my flesh control me. Forgive me, Lord. I am sorry for my sin. And you know what the Bible says? That he will make his mercy new every morning. And again, every day he makes his mercy new. We call upon the Lord. He is faithful and just and willing to forgive us of our sin. What do we need to do? Get back to the altar and repent and call upon the name of the Lord. How many of y'all have had those moments in life where you've done some dumb things and you've had to go back and say, Lord, forgive me. I was stupid. Anybody have that prayer besides me? A stupid prayer? And we call upon the name of the Lord and then we begin walking on his path. So what happens after this is Abraham and Lot have this conflict. Because the herdsmen of Abraham, the herdsmen of Lot, they're not getting along. And it's funny how wealth will bring conflict among families. Have you ever noticed that? You notice that a lot, like at funerals, when people fight and bicker over inheritances. And what you got to realize is that you're going to die too one day, so you're not going to get to keep what you get inherited forever either. Okay? And so what Abraham does, he says this, Lot, there is a lot of land here. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. I'll let you can have first dibs. You can pick first. I'll humble myself, and I'll let you have a choice of where you want to go. And Abraham, he had the right to pick his own selection, but he didn't. He deferred it to Lot. You see, Jesus, when he came, he humbled himself. He had the right. He could have had all authority to come in and say, hey, I'm the king, and you worship me. He could have came with 10,000 angels, but he didn't. He humbled himself and took on the form of a servant. So Abraham is exhibiting faith here. He's trusting God. And Lot then, it says in verse 10, that he lifted up his eyes and he saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. Now this is before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So he lifts up his eyes and he looks at this land and he thinks, whoa, this looks good. I mean, this is where all the action is. This is the city. I mean, this is Hollywood. This is where all the big time people, this is the movers and the shakers, and I need to go there. That's where I need to go. I mean, I could start a business. I could have all kinds of stuff. I mean, I might even be able to try out for American Idol and be the next new star. I mean, this is like where I'm going. I mean, this looks like, this is plush. This is, oh, this looks so good. Now, where else have we saw when someone makes their own judgment with their eye that something was good that God said wasn't good? Y'all remember? Eve. Remember Eve? It says Eve, when she saw that the fruit was good, he saw this city and said, oh, it looks like the garden of the Lord. Achan, when he saw the spoils, he saw it and he coveted it. So he took it and he hid it. We get in danger when we live by the flesh. When we walk by sight and not faith. For the righteous walk by faith and not sight. And so he begins walking by sight. Now notice how God views this city. In verse 13 it says, now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. So Lot, in his fleshly eye, looked at the city and said, man, this looks like the happening place to live. This looks like where I can prosper. God says, it's a wicked city. We know that Sodom and Gomorrah was such a wicked city that God brought judgment upon it. The sexual immorality was rampant. Homosexuality had become the standard. It's where we get sodomy afters from this sinful and degenerate place. And he chooses Sodom. Look at verse 11. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. He chose for himself a path that ended in a heap and ruin. He chose by the flesh. And so what Lot did is Lot left Abraham. He left the godly influence of his life. How many people get trapped up in sin and leave and separate themselves from the people of God who love them? He separates himself from Abraham. He walks towards Sodom. He stands in the city. He sits at the gate. Oh, Lot, he achieves his dream. I mean, he's living the high life. He's rolling. He's got family now. He's got all kinds of wealth. He's got all kinds of positions. He now sits at the city gate. He's one of the elders in the city, and he's living the high life. All the while, he is wrecking his testimony, and he's losing all credibility as a man of faith because he's choosing flesh instead of faith. Now, the New Testament tells us that Lot was a righteous man whose inwardly he struggled. Now, here's what can happen if you're ruled by your flesh. Even if you're a believer in Jesus and you walk in the flesh, you can ruin your life. And you can destroy your testimony. How did Lot destroy his testimony? Well, he allowed the corruption of what went on in Sodom to go around, and he never would preach out against it. And then God one day says, I'm going to destroy this city. He goes to Abraham, he says, I'm destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham's like, oh Lord, would you save it for this many righteous people? And they go on and they pray. He says, we're going to get Lot out of there. I won't destroy it until Lot gets out of there. And so there's angels come, and they tell Lot, God's going to bring judgment on the city. You got to get your family, and you got to get out of here. So Lot goes to his family, and his son-in-laws laugh at him. They think he's nuts. Why? Because he had lost all influence among the people around him because he had lived a fleshy life. And he says, no, God's going to bring judgment. They're like, good one, Lot, good one. Now you're going to preach to us? Yeah, that Lot, God's going to bring judgment. And so they laugh at him, mock him. He gets out of there with his two daughters and his wife, but his wife looks back, turns into a pillar of salt, and then Lot ends up hiding in a cave. He lost everything. All that he had worked for, gone. His family, gone. All of his possessions, gone. All that he lusted for when he looked and he saw what he thought was the good life, gone. That's why the psalmist says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit at the seat of scoffers. No, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on the law of the Lord he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by streams of living water, and everything he does, he prospers. Not so with the man of flesh. That's the end of a fleshy life. Heap and ruin. You can choose that path. Lot chose that path. God didn't stop him. Guess what? You have a choice to make. We all have choices to make every day. We can choose to walk by flesh, or we can choose to walk by faith. And if we choose this route, know this, it's going to end in ruin. You'll lose everything that you hold dear. Gone. A life of faith is a life of trust. Trust. Repentance. We trust God. When we find ourselves erring, sinning, we quickly repent and trust God. And Abraham, that was his life cycle. Every once in a while, he'd do a dumb decision. He'd have to come back to God and ask for forgiveness, and he'd get things right. But he was a man who walked by faith. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, it tells us, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, and he says, fear not, Abram, for I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great. Fear not. Fear not, he says. Don't fear. Don't let fear rule your life and cause you to go into another Egypt. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Follow me, Abraham. He says, I don't have any kids. How am I going to have a nation? I don't have any kids. I've got a relative. Why don't you just use him? God says, no. I'm gonna give you a child. Come here, Abraham. Look up. Look up in the sky, he says. Look toward heaven, he says. Number the stars if you're able to number them. Then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. Then it says this in verse 6, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. When he believed the Lord, God says, you are mine. I credit to you righteousness. I think it's neat how he gave him the stars, and he also used the sand of the seashores as well as a visual. Because there'd be moments in Abraham's life when he would wonder, you know, is God's promise really going to come true? Don't we have those moments in life where we're like, is God, are you really there? Hello? I'm wondering. And so Abraham constantly had a reminder above him. When he would look up into the heavens and he would see the stars, he'd say, got a promise from God. If he ever doubted or if he ever feared or if he ever wondered, is God in control? He could look up and say, God made a promise. And today, if we look up in the stars, you know what? We can look at that same promise and say, you know what? God made a promise. He made a promise to Abraham that all the peoples of the world would be blessed through his seed. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord called to him and said, I am God Almighty. So we get our word El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. He says, walk before me and be blameless. Walk before me. Walk before me. He calls him to walk. I trust, repent, we walk before God. Noah and Enoch was said that they walked with God. That's intimacy, right? The Israelites were told, walk after me. That's this, you walk after God, it's like you walk as a servant. You walk before God. This is kind of picturistic of a children playing in the yard with their father looking out before them and making sure that there's no danger comes their way. And you can walk before him knowing that God is watching and protecting and guarding and he's guiding you. He says, walk before me. Trust me. This is a life of faith, of trust. You don't see it. It may not seem like it's going to happen. It may not seem like your circumstances may seem like, man, God's forgotten about me. God doesn't love me. But you cannot be moved by what you see. You must be moved by your faith. Because the promised seed to Abraham came. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Those 12 sons were the 12 tribes of Israel. Out of those 12 tribes came a king, David. Through the lineage of David came the king, Jesus. Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He is the promised seed, Galatians Paul says, that in him, in your seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed because of you. And Jesus came so that we might be forgiven and set free. He came to set us free from our sin so that we don't have to be a bondage to our flesh, so that we can be forgiven and made new and made whole and walk in the Spirit of God. That he would plant and give his Spirit within us and that we would be sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. He says, this one's mine. Now go before me. Live, walk, trust me. And we live like Abraham lived, as sojourners, as pilgrims. Remember Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 16, we read that Abraham wasn't looking for the land that they were in. No, no. If that was his hope, they could have returned and went there. But no, it says he was looking for the heavenly city that only God builds. Do you realize that as believers in Jesus, if we're going to walk by faith, we walk as pilgrims here. This world's not our home. There's nothing in this world that should capture our eye. The riches of this world, they fail in their comparison to the riches of heaven. And the Bible says that there is a new heaven and a new earth. And when he sees the new city coming down as a groom, as a bride prepared for his groom, as we are the bride of Christ, the holy city, there is now no more death, no more pain, no more suffering, no more heartache. It is truly a land of promise. Here's what happens. We get too caught up in this world, do we not? We let the world capture our eyes. We let the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life begin capturing our mind and heart. And we forget about this world is not our home. My eye needs to be focused up. You see, Lot wanted to live in the city built with the hands of man. Abraham wanted to live in the city built by the hand of God. Which one do you want to live for? Huh? Which one will you live for? Will it be the heavenly? Will it be the earthly? Will it be that of faith? Or will it be that of flesh? Choose this day. Choice is yours. The path is set before you. Every single day we have an opportunity to either walk by our faith or walk by our flesh. And we'll choose one. One ends in blessing. One ends in heap and ruin. I want to avoid the heap and ruin, and I want to stay in the house of God, and I want to walk in His blessings. What do you think? I want to walk in His peace, in His mercy, in His grace, in His love, and His joy. All the things that the world can't give you, but only He can. Let's walk in that. What do you say? So what do you do if you find yourself in Egypt? Don't stay there. Don't build a house there. Don't live your life there. Don't go down to Sodom and think this is the place to live. No, you repent and you turn. And you go back to the altar and you say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I failed to be living for you. Now some of you, man, you're walking that life of faith. You're walking it. I mean, you're like Abraham, you're walking that faith. But there may be a few here that's like, you're doubting. Okay, I'm trusting you, God. I'm living for you. I'm doing all the right things, but it still doesn't seem like it's working out. Just keep trusting. Don't quit walking. Keep moving forward. Move forward to the promise. Move forward to the land of the promise. Keep your eyes on heaven. Keep your eyes on the cross. Allow Jesus to be your focus. It will be worth it after all. He will take you. He's got you. He's got you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to kick you out of His family. He will take you all the way to glory with Him. For in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Trusting. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your amazing love and your grace, and that you call us out of our sin and into your salvation to walk and live a life of faith. Lord, help us to realize that you hold all things good in your hand, and that our future in you is good. Help us to be able to discern the lies of Satan, who tries to deceive and trick and make us think that our flesh knows better than our faith. Lord, if we have anyone here today, they're trapped in Egypt and they're living a life that's not pleasing to you. Lord, don't let them be like Lot. Don't let them be like Lot. Don't let them stay in the city. Don't let them lose all reputation. Don't let them lose all witness. Lord, today, speak, and may they come and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I need to run back to your altar. I need to trust you, follow you, serve you, Lord. For those of who are walking the life of faith, if they're weary, would you encourage them? Lord, if they're inviting people, would you empower them? And Father, may we walk before you, God, as your children. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Let's come.